Good evening, everyone, and happy Veterans Day weekend. So happy you could join us. A fun weekend coming up of high school football on RCN TV. We're so glad you could join us. We're going to be talking mostly high school football on tonight's program. In Pennsylvania, high school playoffs is in full swing. It started last week, of course, for our D.C. audience. We'll be talking a little playoff action as well as your playoffs are getting underway tomorrow night. But a lot of great conversation over the next 60 minutes. We're glad you could be with us. And, of course, everything starts with the introduction of the co-host of the program, senior sports writer from The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Groehler. Keith, how are you?
Did you survive Election Day and all the
I heard
drama?
You single-handedly funded both the McGinty and Toomey campaigns. That was, what, $160 million?
Yeah, I'm good at wasting money like that, sure. I'm good at just throwing money.
Well, I don't talk politics, so yeah.
We don't talk politics on this show, but let's just say I'm happy it's over.
Okay. We'll put everything, and I won't bring that up. Let's introduce our special in-studio guest for the program, the expert at The Morning Call with the EPC South and does a great job all year long, Steve Miller, making his first appearance on RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Steve, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here, and I don't know if you want to call me an expert. I don't think you've seen my predictions this year. They haven't been so good.
I would like anyone to have any prediction accurate this year. I mean, it's been wild, and Keith, I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's been fun because you never know. I mean, you can kind of slate in Parkland's the number one team, and then who's going to be, you know, Easton's number two or number three. But it's kind of been fun to play out. But I want to start right there, getting your thoughts on the playoffs. Not a whole lot of surprises last week in the opening round.
No, it went pretty much according to plan, I think. You know, the EPC South schools kind of dominated the EPC North schools in those matchups. The one close game, Freedom-Stroudsburg, Freedom pulling that one out. But it kind of went the way I think most people thought it would.
Yeah. And Keith, you were at Becca Central. That was a nice turnaround from Becca, who lost badly the week before to Central, and then the Hawks returned the favor in the playoffs.
Great regrouping by the Golden Hawks. I felt bad for Central. I think it's tough. I don't care what anybody says. It's tough. To still have to play the same team again after you just handled them pretty easily 6 nights later. I think Central Catholic is a very good team. I think Becca's a good team. And if they played 10 times, I think it would go 5-5 between them. But it just happened that the Golden Hawks won the more important game.
Yeah. And I felt a little sorry for John Couples because before the game we were asking him, you know, how it was such emotional high. I mean, so much was going into that game. They wanted to send a message. They were in the North this year and so forth. So do you have them emotionally ready? And he said, I said that over and over all week long. But you had to think, it's tough, whether it's any of the teams that could have been matched up. You see them in the regular season, and then a couple weeks later, or in the case of Becca Central, you have to come right back and try to beat them again. I don't know if there's an easy solution around that, but I think it's tough from a mental standpoint to get kids ready to play the same team, especially when so much emotion went into a game like that.
Yeah, I think emotion was definitely a big factor. All the emotion was on Becca's side. I mean, I was there for both games in the preceding week. I mean, Kyle Hawes is on the field saying basically challenging his kids, saying you were embarrassing tonight. You quit, and I mean, he was really getting after his kids. And I thought, wow, they're going to be ready to play when they get the rematch, and they certainly came out ready to play. I got to give Central a lot of credit though; they were down 27-0 after the first quarter and came all the way back to tie it twice. And it happened to be a kickoff return that settled the issue. But, hey, Becca did a great job. They made some great defensive adjustments. They did a good job containing Darnell Farrell, which was a big key to that victory. And now they get the revenge motive again, as we get into that one later on, as they take on Saucon Valley, which stunned them last year, the Panthers, 14-6. Wasn't so much that Saucon won the game, but shutting down what was a very explosive Golden Hawk offense last year, just holding them to one touchdown was just something that I couldn't get my head around. And I'm sure Kyle Hawes, as the offensive coordinator last year, he struggled with that game too for a while.
Yeah. Speaking of this weekend's games in Pennsylvania, let's dive in. Again, last week we started with the small schools and worked up. So to be fair, we're going to start with the larger schools and spend more time on them this week. And so we'll start with the 6A schools, the matchups on Friday night. Freedom taking on Emmaus and also Easton taking on Parkland. Steve, we'll start with Freedom. They're an interesting story, I think, for a lot of reasons. And for one, I'm not going to get into, they're down a player at running back. But Cyrus Thompson has done a nice job, done a great job all year long as a defensive back, usually matched up against opposing team's number one wide receiver. He's a great running back, but didn't get a lot of touches the last few weeks. But now he's thrust into the starting role, and he's done a nice job the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's got over 300 yards the last two games, I think 7 touchdowns in those games. And it's funny, his last carry was, I think, a game you covered, a 62-yard touchdown against Emmaus. Didn't touch the ball for like 3 weeks after that and has jumped right back in there. They're interesting, I think, because, you know, they go through that midseason losing streak. They lose 3 games in a row. Now they've won 4 in a row. One thing that's really interesting to me about them is Joe Young, their quarterback, has run the ball more later in the season. I've always kind of been surprised that they haven't run him more. But I think now they realize it's late in the year. No point in saving him at this point, so yeah. Go all out.
Yeah, I remember we asked some of the players before the season, what are you going to do for Joe Young in week six since he's been hurt the last two seasons, week six, and they said, we're just going to wrap him in bubble wrap through the regular season. So he's healthy, though, ready to go. How much of an advantage do you think it is? Joe Young, I think, is the best quarterback in the area. I think people can argue that point. But Emmaus is down a quarterback, too. So they're going to be running the ball, and they have been running the ball efficiently the last few weeks. But how long can they keep running the ball 70-75% time of the time and still have success the deeper you get in the playoffs?
Well, even when Schaefer was in there at quarterback, they were primarily a running team with those two sophomore backs. And, you know, I'm sure it's not unusual for them to now go 75%, 80% running game. Blake Reed was going to be the quarterback next year, and he certainly come up with a gritty throw to beat Parkland in the regular season finale. The interesting thing is Steve is the main EPC South guy, and he takes the pick, and it's like we go in order, and then I pick the next best game on the docket, and I happen to cover both of these earlier matchups. And yeah. I remember Jason Roeder that night losing to Emmaus, and he really felt he had the better team that night. Yeah. He felt that, much like Kyle Hawes, that undisciplined mistakes were very, very costly. I mean, and Emmaus in that, if I remember that game, Emmaus had a decent-sized lead, and Freedom kept coming and making plays, and it came down to an onside kick that Emmaus needed to recover at the end, or else they might have lost that game. Emmaus is vulnerable, but I think Emmaus has had a great, great season. I think of all the top all the teams that you expect to win this week, they're the ones that may be the most vulnerable because Freedom's right there. I mean, Freedom's playing the football that I think you and I expected them to play back in August.
Yeah, and I'll put it out there. I picked Freedom to win this week for those reasons. I think maybe Emmaus played its best football already. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I just feel like their passing game hasn't quite clicked the last few weeks. I know they can run the ball well. I think Freedom's run defense has kind of picked back up to the way that it was earlier in the year. And you know, Chris, you mentioned Joe Young. I think he's right up there as one of the two best quarterbacks. I'd put Travis Stefanik from Nazareth in the mix as well. But the way Joe has played down the stretch and just their overall playmaking ability, I like them. I think it's going to be a close game, but I do like Freedom to win this
game. I think if Freedom doesn't beat itself, it has a great chance. I mean, it seems like to me when they lose, they can point to a number of, much like Liberty now. Liberty just made too many mistakes and had some problems with personnel. You're not going to get into that. But it seems like if Freedom can avoid the penalties, which were so costly in that preceding game against Emmaus, I think they have a great opportunity. No matter what happens, it's been a breakthrough year. And if Emmaus doesn't get it done this year, it's okay. I mean, you know, to the seniors, it's not okay. But their future is very much ahead of them. They have some great sophomores. They have more kids coming into the program. The whole culture has changed at Emmaus.
And I think one big key for them, where they have a big advantage, is their kicking game.
Carson Landis is amazing.
If they can score early, you know, Landis puts the ball in the end zone almost every time on kickoffs, and that makes you have to drive the 80 yards, just much like Parkland when they had Bissell a few years ago. That's a big advantage in these closer games. If you make a team go 80 yards versus going 50 or 60 yards, so if they can get, a touchdown early, a couple of touchdowns early, I do like their chances in that scenario.
How do you like Emmaus' defense? Because I've only seen them once, and that was the Emmaus Freedom game earlier this year. And Emmaus did a great job of attacking Joe Young. They came at him with some different looks. As the game went on, they tried to mix and match. It was one of the few times I've seen Joe Young kind of force out of the pocket and not comfortable throwing the football. Do you think they can put pressure again and kind of, I don't know if rattling him would be the right word because he's such a composed person, but maybe just force his passes a little bit more and disrupt things in the backfield?
I do, because I saw them play against Bethlehem Catholic. Again, that was early in the season, but they sacked their quarterback seven times. Mm-hmm. And Blake Reed was one of the guys. I think he had four sacks in that game. So they definitely can get after it. And I talked to Harold Fairclough earlier this week, and one thing he said is our offense has come back a little bit, but I think our defense has picked up. I think this is going to probably – I would be surprised if it's another 37-35 game. I think it's more a game that's going to be 24-20, 21-20, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. You're looking for a close game. I think you're both going with Freedom.
I'm going to stay with Emmaus only because I live in the town.
That's not an answer.
Well,
I'm
going to go with Emmaus, but I know it's like straddling the fence here, but I'm going to go with Emmaus because they have done a great job. They're a 10-1 football team, but it would not shock me if Freedom wins this game.
Okay. And same score, about 24-20 in the 20s?
I think Freedom wins. I think here's the deal. I think if Emmaus wins, it's going to be very, very close and low scoring.
Short
if Freedom
game.
Wins, I think Freedom could strike for some big plays. From a Emmaus secondary standpoint, their pass defense has had some leaks. I think they can give up some big plays. I think if Freedom wins, it might be a 2 or 3 touchdown game. It really could be.
All right. The other 6A game, Easton at Parkland, and both have unique stories. Tim Monsman in his first year at Parkland. I think you saw the Parkland game last week, and it seemed like they're getting some people healthy and they're running the ball, which Tim always loves to do. And I know with Brett Comps, the offensive coordinator, too, and people before the season thought, well, maybe they're going to have a wide-open attack. But I think right now, anyway, he just likes to grind the ball out. And I think, you know, with multiple horses coming out of the backfield, that's going to be their game plan heading into the Easton game anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, Nick Suriel's getting healthier. He's their leading rusher. I mean, a lot of people know about Jahan Wirth, obviously, who was the defensive MVP in the EPC South named this week. And obviously a big, tough running back. But Nick Suriel has gotten healthier. They gave him the ball 8 times on their first drive last week. And that's what was really impressive. He had a whole drive where he carried it. Then Jahan came in and did it. And then later in the game, Frank Guida came in for kind of the finishing drive that put the mercy rule into play. So they have 3 guys who are capable backs, and they're just a big, strong, physical team. They've thrown the ball better, I think, later in the year. They didn't have to throw it a lot last week. I think you're right. I think it's going to be I think both ways it's probably going to be a run-dominated game.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a quick one. I'm the one that always gets the late game, generally. And last week, I think I looked at my cell phone. 10:08.
10 o'clock, yeah.
10:08 was the finish of the Central Catholic Bethlehem Catholic game. But my quickest game all year, and it's because of the style of these two teams. They huddle up. They don't do the spread stuff. And they'd like to shorten the game. Both of these teams, the Red Rovers, the shortest game they had all year was Parkland at Easton. I guess it was back in September. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see the same formula. I think ultimately Parkland is the best defensive football team in this area. I think that's going to take them a long way. I still think they're the team to beat in 6A. And I think you're going to see a lot of running, and you're going to see a low-scoring game. And ultimately, Parkland's going to win because I think Easton played a little bit better last week, but and has played a little bit better down the stretch. That was a big win for them over Nazareth in Week 10. Yeah. But I like Parkland. I think those kids still know how to win. They know it's November here, and this is their time to shine. And they're going to be a tough out. I don't care who they play. They're going to be a tough out.
I was going to ask you because I haven't seen Parkland in person all year. How do they? They're not the same team as last year. But are they getting better? It's a first-year head coach, still trying. Tim's trying to implement a system. You know, everyone's trying to find their roles. Devontae Cross was a great leader. So are they starting to find their roles, and could they put a run together in the state playoffs if, of course, they advance in the district championships?
I don't know if anyone's going to be able to put a big run together in 6A this year because you're looking at a really powerful St. Joe's prep team probably mm-hmm. down the pike. So that's going to be tough. But I do think Parkland has played better later in the year. You know, I think the biggest thing was Michael Roush. You know, he's a first-year quarterback. He missed a game because of a hard hit he took against Liberty. Mm-hmm. He's getting more and more comfortable. But also, they had some injuries along the offensive line. They've had more of their offensive line intact later in the year, and I think that's kind of helping them as well.
Jahan Wirth is the X factor. I mean, he's the, you know, you talk about losing people like Yeboah and Cross, and I still think they miss a fiery little spark plug like DiGirolamo. Mm-hmm. I thought he was fantastic for them last year. But Jahan Wirth is the X factor. I think he's maybe the most talented player in the area when you take in what he does on offense and what he does on defense. And I think, I know St. Joe's Prep is out there probably as your first state playoff game in Week 14. Mm-hmm. Probably they're going to be an underdog in that game, but, sometimes it's better. The expectations aren't with this team, and sometimes those are the teams that sneak up on you. I certainly think they're going to win the District 11 title. I don't know if they can beat Prep, though.
Yeah. And as far as Easton, too, for people that haven't been following the Rovers, 3 times I saw Steve Shifford this year. The one time he said, this is one of the youngest starting teams I've ever had. The second time he said, this might be the youngest team I've ever had because of all the injuries they've had. Mm-hmm. And then the third time I saw him, he said, this might be the youngest Easton team in Easton history, which is going back a few years. So they're finally starting to get people healthy. Can they do enough? And I think Steve Shifford is dangerous this time of year, especially if he's not playing on one day's rest. I think he's dangerous. The great coaching staff they have there can put a game plan together. Can they challenge him and make a game of it and maybe even pull the upset?
I think they can because Ben Nima at quarterback has played better in the second half of the year. He's another guy. I mean, they thought he was going to be their quarterback coming into this year. He got hurt in the preseason. They went to Scott Polson. Polson did well in a couple of spots. But Nima is more of a dual threat, I think, for them, and that's a big factor for them. They have a chance if he throws the ball well. The one thing is they have thrown a lot of interceptions when they've put the ball in the air. Mm-hmm. They can't afford a big turnover game against Parkland.
Yeah. And they got some big linemen that I really like. They're not, you know, the huge stocky guys that we normally see with Easton, but Travis Storm, I think, is a great player. I think they can, you know, put pressure and make a game out of it against
Parkland. Well, I saw we made Easton twice. I saw them lose to Parkland. I saw them beat Freedom and Joe Young. And Doug Powell could put together a heck of a game plan. He doesn't have to do – I mean, they're going to have to find a way to stop the power of Parkland and Jahan Worth. I don't know if how do you pronounce that name?
Roosh.
Roosh is going to beat them in the air. You know, he's probably going to force them to go to the air to make some plays. But I think Doug Powell, Steve Shifford, you never can count him out. Yeah. I just think they're talent, man-for-man-wise. I think Parkland's the better team this time around.
All right, we're going to continue the Pennsylvania high school football talk in just a few minutes. Some D.C. football coming up as well. Right now, it's time for the trivia question to give you a chance to win tonight's prize. And it involves the high school football landscape here in the Lehigh Valley. Since 1998, four teams have won multiple District 11 4A, the old 4A, football championships. We need you to correctly identify all four names to win this week's prize. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. The callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Keith Kroller and Steve Miller from The Morning Call joining us. We're getting back to the Pennsylvania High School football talk in just a moment. But right now, we're pleased to be joined on the line by Chad Ricardo, host, writer, anchor, and producer at 1340 AM Fox down in the D.C. area, and also proprietor and president, CEO of the RicardoReport.com. Chad, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Thank you so very much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And before I pick your brain and ask you about your expertise about the teams in the D.C. area and the outstanding sure. players down there this year that you've seen, just want to talk a little bit about your background. You not only do a great job with your show and with the website, but you do a great job of promoting kids, and you send out highlights yes. of the kids. And, you know, you also tweet directly to colleges that they're interested in and colleges that might have an interest in a certain player. So you really do a great job promoting high school athletes. Where did you develop that passion to promote high school athletes like you do?
You know, it's kind of what my mother always told me I needed to do. No, there's two things that I always wanted to do with my life. I was either going to work in sports, or I was going to work in a field in which I could aid in the growth and development of our youth. It's something that's extraordinarily important to me. So being able to do this at the football level, to use sports as a conduit to be able to also gain influence and to be able to get in a young man's ear and to maybe talk to him about sports and then be able to lead him about life as well is something that I'm extraordinarily passionate about. I'm fortunate to be in this position, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
Well, you do a great job. It's fun to listen to you and read your stuff online. A couple teams I wanted to ask you about. Damascus was actually a team we talked a little bit about last week, but I know they got a player, Marcus Vincent, that's been causing a lot of tension down there. So could you talk about Marcus's performance this year and about their first-round playoff game this weekend?
Marcus Vinson is a phenomenal student athlete. He's a young man. He was actually our student athlete of the week a couple of weeks ago, so I had an opportunity to spend some quality time with him. This Damascus program, I mean, they are likely on their way to winning their second straight state championship. Not only are they not challenged very frequently, but a lot of times other teams don't even come close to competing with them. Marcus Vincent in particular, he benefits from having a tremendous offensive line. He's rushed for close to 1,300 yards this season, close to 30 touchdowns. He's a commit to the University of Richmond, in which he'll likely play a little bit more defensive back there. But in any regard, he's an outstanding athlete and an outstanding young man as well.
Yep. I guess Wise and Duval is another big game in the Maryland area you're watching this weekend?
You know what? The reason why I look to that Wise and Duval game is just because Wise is really in the Maryland 4A reign. They are what Damascus is in the 3A. This Wise team, they haven't lost a game in 2 years. The most points that they've allowed in any ball game in the last 2 years is 15 points. They allowed that once last game. I'm pretty sure one of those touchdowns was scored when their second unit was in. This Wise team, coached by head coach DeLon Parrish, is likely the top public school in the state of Maryland. DeLon Parrish is building something special over there, and I don't think that that rain is going to stop this year. It's going to carry on for a while now.
Yep. And in the 6A playoffs, you have a team like Lake Braddock and Robinson squaring off, and Lamont Atkins, I know, is one of the top players on Lake Braddock this year. What's the story on him, and how do you see that matchup coming up this weekend?
When I take a look at Lake Braddock, I certainly anticipate them winning this game. This is a team that has an extraordinarily powerful running game. They've got Lamont Atkins, and we'll get back to him in just a second, but they've also got a young man by the name of Ibrahim Mansouri, who plays running back as well. He's kind of your shifty back. He can go back and forth. They've got a very solid defense. One of the things about Lamont Atkins, because he will take Lake Braddock as far as they can go. And the thing about him is that he was recently just named both the offensive and defensive MVP of the Patriot League. So that speaks to his talent on both sides of the field. He's a UVA commit, so he's as good as he is on the field. He's just as good off of the field as well. Had the opportunity to study this young man's game for the last 2 to 3 years, and to watch him grow and to watch him develop. He gets trained by Perfect Performance, so to see his body grow and develop and really turn into the young man that he is today is truly a blessing for me. And I know that that his family, I know his parents are good people. They're likely the best player in the state of Virginia, so I'm happy for Lamont.
All right. Moving on to the WCAC playoffs. DeMatha, we've talked about them quite a bit this fall, as usual. Bo English and Chase Young among the outstanding players there. They have an interesting matchup. Good Counsel this weekend, who has some Division I prospects as well with that program. How do you see the game shaking out? And also, who do you like as far as top players in that matchup?
You know, Good Counsel has been, they've been a bit of an enigma the entire season. I tell you, if you would ask a lot of the experts who the top offensive player in the WCAC would be, they would likely say Muhammad Ibrahim. He's the running back for Good Counsel. You ask them who the top defensive player in the WCAC, most would say Chase Young, but a couple would say Joshua Pascal. He's a defensive end for Good Counsel. This team has a ton of talent, but this year they've just played a little bit inconsistent. There have been games in which they've shown up and they've gotten big wins, but a lot of times against the toughest of competition, they've kind of come up short. I know that a few of the prognosticators, not myself personally, I've got nothing but respect for the coaching staff, but some of the prognosticators feel as though Coach Bob Malloy, over 300 victories. I believe that's the most in the state of Maryland. Some people feel as though maybe the game has kind of advanced beyond the way that he likes to play right now. So maybe that's one of the issues. I know that they've had a couple of issues at quarterback as well, but I think that that's something they can get together. This DeMatha program, this is a team that's looking for, of course, their fourth straight championship, WCAC championship, I should say. The last couple of years, they've had a ton of five-star athletes. They've had five-star, four-star athletes. Many came into this season thinking that this may be the year that they fall off. However, what they have done is they have played as a total and complete team, a total and complete unit. Whether we're talking about Bo English, whether we're talking about Chase Young, we're talking about Corey Sproul, Grant Donaldson, Miles Canton, Delonte Helms. I mean, the list goes on and on. They've got a powerful offensive line. They've got a leader in Elijah Brooks and a leader in Bo English that keeps everything calm. And they run the ship the way that it should be run.
Our special guest on the Skype line is Chad Ricardo, host, writer, producer from Fox Sports down in the D.C. region and RicardoReport.com. A quick question about the DeMatha, too, because they were on ESPN recently,
yes,
too. And I know to the coaches that's kind of old hat. Just about every year, at least once, they're on a national broadcast. But for the kids and for the community, I know that's special. What's it like down in the DMV region when you have a team or a couple teams throughout the fall that are featured on a national broadcast? What does it do to the high school football scene down there?
It's truly special, and when you talk about the WCAC, you're really speaking of one of the premier conferences, not only in the region, not only in the East Coast, but also in the entire nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have a DeMatha, you've got a Gonzaga, you've got a St. John's, you've got a good Council, and then even a Bishop McNamara, who's typically on the fringe a little bit. These are schools that those five schools combined, I believe there was a poll, and the WCAC is, it was listed fifth or the seventh in the entire nation. So what that does is that it brings so much light to this entire region that it's really good for all of the kids. Everybody ends up benefiting from it a lot, because the college coaches, they come down a lot more. All games are showcase games, whether they're on ESPN or not. DeMatha, you know, they say they played on ESPN so many times now that, to your point, it is a little bit old hat, but it's special here. The football here is special, whether we're talking about the WCAC, Northern Virginia, or in Maryland Public Schools as well.
Well, before we let you go, there was another big game this weekend. I wanted to get your thoughts on St. John's. Kasim Hill is one of their top players. Tyree Randolph, we talked about him a couple weeks ago on the show as well, leading Gonzaga. They are matched up against each other this weekend. So what are your thoughts on that game?
Yes, you speak to Kasim Hill. Kasim Hill, he's a University of Maryland commit. The movement from DMV to Maryland, that movement is strong. And Kasim Hill is one of the key cogs that's going to help take likely the University of Maryland program to the next level. He's the quarterback at St. John's, obviously. St. John's came in with a ton of expectations this year, and for the most part, they've lived up to them. They've lost a few games. They lost to IMG from down in Florida. That, you know, you can't be upset about that. They've lost to their top five team in the nation. They lost to DeMatha by 1 point. They're a top five team in the nation. And last week, in what many would call a bit of a surprise, they lost to Gonzaga. One of the things about that is that that surprised me personally was not necessarily that they lost, because this Gonzaga program, coached by Coach T, is potent. They upset DeMatha last year during the regular season. So it's not that they won, it was the way that they won. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga scored 45 points last week. Sam Brown passed on this vaunted St. John's defense all last week. So that was a bit surprising. Coming into this game, if you're St. John's, I believe that they've lost three of their last seven. Their confidence, at least to some extent, has to be waning a little bit. But I got to tell you, if I had to put the ball in one quarterback's hands with my team's confidence maybe waning, then it would be Kasim Hill. Gonzaga, a great program, though. Tyree Randolph, one of the most influential, not only running backs, but football players in the entire area. Sam Brown, he's a GYFL alum. He gets it done. Max Fisher, he's an NC State commit, and Johnny Jordan on that offensive line. Gonzaga plays the game the right way. So if you ask me today, I'm going Gonzaga.
All right, Chad, thanks so much for your insight, and keep up the great work online, through social media, and on the radio.
And Chris, right before I leave, listen, they'll be upset with me if I don't. I just have to give a shout-out to my guys out there. Joshy Laurie, who's been with me for quite some time. Jaron Glover, he's the media director of the Ricardo Report. Rodney Jiggs Johnson, Darrell Balknight as well. MarylandSportsAccess.com, I thank them. And Mark and Kathy Silverstein on the Mark Media.
Yeah. That's it. Yep. You guys do a great job. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you all so very much. Have a great rest of the night.
Yep, you too. Chad Ricardo, host, writer, anchor, and producer for Fox Sports, 1340 AM down in the DMV region, and also see his work at ricardoreport.com. We're going to have the Washington Game of the Week highlights coming up in just a moment, but right now it's time in our program where the co-host takes over and gives his insights on anything and everything on his sports mind. We call it Growler's Grumblings.
How am I supposed to follow Chad Ricardo? He is smooth.
He's a lot of energy.
He's got his own logo in the back there. He's fantastic.
Well, so do you. You have the Morning Call logo.
I have no logo.
Over
your,
it's right there. It's floating over
there's this thing that says idiot right here. That's what's behind me. Hey, look, that guy's good. But
we saved the tape of him saying that, right? Okay. We might see that again.
It's all grumblings tonight. I'm not a happy man these days. I'm tired of you. I heard about three or four times this week talking to different coaches about, well, nobody respects us. We don't get enough respect. One league in particular is always crying for respect. Right. Look, and you earn your respect by winning football games, by putting championship banners on the wall. That's the way you earn respect. You want respect? Win. Okay? It's that simple. And I'm tired of hearing about people crying for that they're not getting enough respect. Number two, I'm tired of athletes chiming in on presidential politics. I'm tired of everybody chiming in on presidential politics. If anybody, should, if there's one lesson that should have been learned from this stunning election result, it's that, look it, Hollywood doesn't matter, athletes don't matter, look it. Just everybody just keep your mouth shut because nobody cares, all right? Just vote your conscience and that's it, all right? PIAA. You might as well take the rules off the book. I've been in a number of high school gymnasiums. The official practice date for the start of basketball practice, and I guess all winter sports, is November 18th. There's coaches in there. It's supposed to be open gym. It's not open gyms. We're seeing coaches do their instructing. Look, you might as well take all the rules off the books about practice is supposed to start this date and that date, because we know they all get around it. PIAA, just take the rules off the book or enforce the rule. If you because it's ridiculous. And finally, what really has me miserable is that I'm a Los Angeles Rams fan. They stink. They absolutely stink. Jeff Fisher, you stink. I don't mean the former guy that was at Channel 69. He's a good guy. He's doing a great job on the high school scene in California. We should get him on. But Jeff Fisher, you're awful. I mean, what can I say about you? You trade the future away for Jared Goff. He doesn't even get on the field. Very similar to the team I used to cover in Philadelphia, the 76ers. They stink too. And I can't believe anybody would be a Rams fan these days in the Los Angeles market. I can't believe there's any Sixer fans. It's awful right now. We're waiting and waiting and waiting. Wait for the process, blah, blah, blah. Simmons, they get a guy, he can't even get on the floor. I get it, injuries do happen, but I'll tell you what, it's just tough out there if you're a 76er or a Rams fan. And I apologize for being so negative, but, sometimes you just got to bend.
This programming note, next week's segment will be called the Demi Downer segment instead of Growler's Grumbling. So, and by the way, you don't tell me what you're going to say ahead of time. And so I have no idea. We did not talk about this in advance. I will bet you all of your $160 million that you spent in the campaign, I know exactly who you're talking about the respect thing. I won't say it on the. I'll tell you off the air who I think you're talking
about. Well, it's actually more than one person, but it's a general league. It's a league.
Oh, yeah.
That always wants to badmouth another league, but beat them. It's a league that claims that they never get enough respect, but they're going to have some opportunities this weekend. We'll see. Okay.
I still have. I know one of the names at least.
All right.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. The trivia question again. Since 1998, four teams have won multiple District 11 4A football championships. Name them. Dan and Easton's up first. Dan, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, Dan. Well, Keith's miserable, but otherwise, I think Steve and I are okay.
See, it's because Alan beat Dara from football. That's why Grohler's upset.
That's one of the many reasons I'm upset. You're right.
How's Dara doing that? Never mind.
It's about time we beat him. But anyway, let's try this trivia question.
All right, you got to get all four correct. So fire away.
Okay. Well, Parkland's won it for 20 years in a row. Easton, Liberty, and the future 4A in the new classification, Bethlehem Catholic.
Very good.
That's great.
That's impressive.
Good job.
Super.
Well, most of our emailers didn't get that right, but you got it right, Dan. You were first.
Hey, you
didn't look that up, right?
Yeah. You must be a Becca fan. Are you a Becca fan? I know.
No,
you're a Canary,
actually,
too. But
My wife hates Becca because of Bob Stemp, I can't cheer for
this
Becca.
This is a depressing segment here.
I will say this. I mean, Bob Stemp was the one. They were a 3A school.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Stemp said, well, you're going to change the league. You're going to kick us out of the league. We're still going to play. You're not going to escape us. We're going to move up to 4A. And son of a gun, he backed up his words, and he went out and beat a couple good 4A teams, and he won a couple championships. So,
it's
not bragging if you back it up,
But I do remember when him and George Curry had some battles because I'm from up by Berwick, and it used to be Becca and Berwick all the time.
Tremendous battles between Berwick with Central and Becca back in the 90s. It was a great era. It really was.
Yeah,
a lot of good rivalries.
We miss George.
Yep. All right,
Dan. I do too. He was a good coach.
Excellent.
Dan, thanks so much. We'll be in contact with you after the show about winning the prize.
All right, fellas. Talk to you later.
All right. Let's squeeze in one more caller before our break. John from Easton also wants to chime in. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Yeah, I was going to answer that trivia question, but he beat me to it.
Oh, okay. Did you want to – any thoughts on anything else?
No. Out of those years since 98, there was only one other team that won a district championship, and that was Nazareth.
They're very good. Keith, can you throw in something extra? Some of your $160 million.
I'll get a collection together for John.
All right.
Well, thank you, Keith. I'll see you Sunday morning.
Oh, terrific. Looking forward to it.
Have a good evening, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, John.
Sunday morning on a radio show, I assume.
Well, I know. Well, are you going to fill in the information? Do we want to plug the radio show? Or Go ahead. Time's yours.
Well, we're on it. We're on the Clubhouse Grill, and we have a lot of good stuff happening over there every Sunday morning. So, although this Sunday, catch me early because I'm leaving for the Eagles and the Falcons at about 10:30.
So. Well, that'll be a right nice cheery drive after the game if Doug Peterson makes some of those calls that he made last week. All right, we're going to get back to the high school football talk and talk District 11 playoffs in just a second. But as we go to break, it was the final regular season last week in the DMV region. So our final regular season DKN Sports Minute.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. The 6-3 Bell Griffins visited the 4-4 Cardozo Clerks on the final week of the regular season. The Clerks meant business from the start. Number one quarterback Kawan Jennifer scoops a low snap, improvising a broken play. He picks up a block, hits the corner, and it's a 75-yard foot race to the end zone. Cardozo goes up 6-0 just 30 seconds into the game. Cardozo kept the pressure on. Standing on his own goal line, Kawan Jennifer hits his running back number 21, Traquan Nelson, who sheds a defender, hits the gas, and takes it to the house. Near the end of the first, Cardozo goes up 12-0. The Bell Griffins maintained a ground attack that took them to the Cardozo goal line. Number 5 QB, Kieran Black, tosses to his running back number 3, Tiante McKenzie, who breaks to the outside and hustles into the end zone. Cardozo still up 12-6. But Cardozo knew a thing or two about ground and pound. Number 21 running back, Traquan Nelson, takes the handoff, shakes a handful of tacklers, and zigzags his way into the end zone. The Cardozo Clerks run away with the victory, literally. A convincing 30-6. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Steve Miller, outstanding writer from The Morning Call, joining us at themorningcall.com. Keith, have you recovered a little bit? You were just ripping everyone all the way through the commercial break.
Hey, you never call me an outstanding writer. You know what? Gary Laubach's one heck of a play-by-play guy. That's
yeah,
all I can
is.
Say.
He is. I'm not going to disagree with that. Mm. But you're well, never mind. All right, let's get to 5A, 4A, and 3A. Southern Lehigh versus Whitehall. That's the matchup everyone's been anticipating for some time now. That's going to be the game of the night on RCN. Southern Lehigh versus Whitehall will be live with Gary Laubach. Mike Joseph and
if I had RCN, Coca. That's the game I'd watch.
Well, very good.
Because of Gary.
We'll go to your dad's house. And
my uncle, but yeah, uncle. Okay.
Okay, go there. Southern Lehigh versus Whitehall again. That's the Friday matchup. Saucon Valley and Bethlehem Catholic, that's also going to be played on Friday. And then Saturday we will have the 3A District 11 semifinal between North Schuylkill and Notre Dame, the number one seed. Penargyl and Palisades also in action. And I'm going to start with the outstanding Steve Miller here and then get to Keith for your valuable insights as well. But, I mean, the Whitehall-Southern Lehigh matchup, that's one everyone has been looking forward to. And Becca Saucon also is a very intriguing matchup because, as Keith mentioned earlier, you got that avenge factor for the Hawks fans out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I haven't seen Whitehall in a few weeks, but you know, I know Whitehall, obviously, we've talked about it. You know, they knew they were in the playoffs. I laughed before the season. I went online to one of the sites, schedule sites, and you see District 11 playoff game already up there because they knew they were going to have a game before the season started. But some very talented players. Zach Gilbert's had a really good year at quarterback for them. Des Boykin, one of the best athletes in the EPC South, I think. I give Whitehall a big edge in this game. I think the move to 5A is going to treat them well, and they're going to win a title.
Sure. Yep. Keith, your thoughts on 3A, 4A, and 5A?
Well, I mean, let me go to 5A. And Southern Lehigh has evidently got I haven't seen them play, but I know they have a lot of speed. They have a good quarterback. You know, I think they got a puncher's chance in this thing if Whitehall doesn't come to play. I mean, hopefully Whitehall learned from what Becca should have learned last year, and that's you better come to play against somebody. Some of these teams are not bad football teams. They're pretty darn good football teams, matter of fact. And certainly Southern Lehigh, having never – ever won a district championship, is really hungry. Whitehall hasn't won one since 1997. Right. RCN's very own Tony Coca was the coach. So both of these teams should have plenty of motivation. There's an opportunity for Whitehall to escape the shadow of their neighbor, Parkland get an opportunity to win a district gold, and I think it should be. I think it's going to be an entertaining, high-scoring game. I really do.
Now, two quick questions about Bethlehem Catholic. Are they going to have any kind of letdown? Because, you know, you talked about the emotion going into that second meeting with Central Catholic. And also, Becca has a couple injuries. Nico Camacho, I think he's a great lineman. He was such a valuable. They've had injuries, and they've kind of sustained some injuries and moved people around, and they lost their rotation that they had because they don't have the depth of some other schools. But his loss, I think, is really big. But do you think they can bounce back from that and still have a performance that I know a lot of Hawk fans are looking to see on Friday night?
I do. I don't think they're going to have any letdown because of exactly what Key said. I mean, losing that game last year was one of the more stunning results. And I think exactly because of what Key said, how they lost the game, the fact that they only scored 6 points in that game. I can't imagine that they're going to have a letdown from even though, you know, they are coming off of two emotional games against a rival school like Central Catholic.
I was over there, and that's all they talked about. They said, Randy Terry said, look, at all last week we were thinking about 48-14. Well, this week, all they've been thinking about is 14-6. The fact that they lost a game that, I mean, in retrospect, it wasn't that bad of a loss when you consider how well Saucon Valley did. At the time, it was a stunner. Beckett team should not be scoring 6 points against Saucon Valley. And I'm sure they feel that way, and I'm sure they're going to have come out with a lot of fire on Friday night at Crumbs. And Crumbs, hey, it's their third straight game in that environment there. I mean, that's always a factor, too. I think they're getting quite comfortable playing in West Allentown.
All right, it is the roundtable part of our show. The roundtable is where we have a variety of local, regional, national topics that we put before our guests. They don't know what's arriving prior to their arrival in the studio. And as always, we look for an entertaining exchange of different thoughts on these topics. All right, topic number one, like or unlike this rumor that's out there, not getting a whole lot of publicity, but the Phillies are supposedly one of two teams pursuing Howie Kendrick. Player, of course, who can play a couple different positions. Last year of his contract, so he could potentially, if the Phillies get him, would not block one of the younger players. But, Steve, you covered the Phillies for many years. Howie Kendrick, would you like the Phillies picking him up?
No, I would not like that. Not, I mean, 5 years ago, maybe. I don't really see what he's going to add. I did see that rumor, and I saw his slash lines from last year. Yeah. So
I don't think he played as much last year.
He didn't, but I think he didn't play as much for a reason last year. No. So, no, I'm not a big fan of that.
Now, Keith, you are a Cardinal fan, too. So let's just put that disclaimer because you were ripping the Cubs last week. But go ahead.
I wasn't ripping the Cubs.
Yes, you were.
I was not.
You're picking against them.
Well, I was rooting against them,
yes.
They
got the goat and everything. Charlie Sheen was there with the goat. They had to win.
Howie Kendrick does not excite anybody. It doesn't excite. I mean, this is a team that needs to sell tickets.
Yeah, Cody
all of a sudden, after all those sellouts, they need to sell tickets. Howie Kendrick is not going to do it.
Cody Ashey in left field, though. I don't know. All right. Topic number two. Who's your regular season high school MVP? Who really sticks out in your mind?
I think Darnell Farrell had an amazing year from Central Catholic. I know it was against the EPC North, and some people might look at that. But if you look at, you know, look what he did against Bethlehem Catholic in that regular season finale. And that was a really good team. They put up 48 points against that team. So, to me, he had the best year.
I would agree with that. I will just mention that I think Worth is the heart and soul of Parkland. He's the reason that they're, to me, still the favorite to win 6A. And Desmond Boykin is also a dazzling performer for Whitehall. And he's only a junior. Yeah, both these guys are only juniors. I mean, it's going to be already, I think there's some great playmakers that we can look forward to seeing in 2017.
Can we put you on the spot for Coach of the Year, too? There are a lot of great choices this year.
Harold Fairclough, to me, is a slam dunk. I mean, there's a lot of good choices, but, I mean, I picked the Mays to finish eighth in the EPC South. So, you know, for that team to go 10-1, win a league title in a very tough league, to me, he's the clear choice.
I think it's either Fairclough or Kyle Hawes, who's really done a really good job. I mean, a lot of folks thought that with Becca making that switch from the North to the South, having to play the Eastons, the Parklands, the Freedoms, the Liberties, all those good people, that there was no way that they were going to compete. They went 7-1 at one point. And then he picks up the pieces after that 48-14 loss and beats Central Catholic. Now, let's check back and see what happens after this weekend. But right now, it's either Fairclough or Hawes. They've both done fantastic jobs.
All right, as we go to break, a quick reminder of RCN broadcast schedule this weekend. Again, on Friday night, we'll have the 5A championship, Whitehall versus Southern Lehigh. That'll be live at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, live coverage of Lafayette taking on Colgate at 1 p.m. And then the replay of North Schuylkill taking on Notre Dame. That'll be on RCN TV at 5 o'clock. Final segment of tonight's RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, starring Steve Miller and Keith Groehler, right after this timeout. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Tonight's special guest, Steve Miller from The Morning Call, joining us. And again, great Veterans Day weekend coming up. Make sure you honor the fine men and women out there. Amid everything else going on right now, remember, it's Veterans Day weekend. So take some time out this weekend to remember our service men and women, past and present. All right, continuing on with the roundtable here to close up this week's show. Are you losing confidence in Doug Peterson? Everything was rosy. The Eagles were going to go to the Super Bowl the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. You know, our resident Eagles fan here on camera is ready to throw something at me. But Doug Peterson, Keith, you're going to see him this weekend. Do you think he has lost control of the team?
I never had confidence in him. I mean, here's the worst thing that ever happened to Peterson, that happened to Carson Wentz, was they got off to this 3-0 start, mm-hmm. and everybody kind of blew things out of
proportion.
They're
going to the Super Bowl, yeah.
I mean, if you would have said back in August that this team would be 4-4 at this point, you probably would have taken. Now, he's the Eagle fan on the staff. I mean, he's one of the Eagle fans on the staff here, and I don't really care whether they win or lose, but I think you take it. But now that 3-0 start kind of skewed all expectations, in my opinion.
Steve? I agree. It did skew expectations. And 4-4, you probably would have been, might have been happy before this season, honestly. I think the biggest thing, I don't know if it's losing confidence, but you have to remember, he's a rookie head coach. He's the first time going through this. He's probably going to make some mistakes. And you had a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback, you're going to maybe lose some close games.
Did you like the fourth down going for call?
No.
That he went for it at least one of those times. But the personnel decisions, like running Sproles on fourth and short.
That bothered me less than trying to run a quarterback sweep with Carson.
That one was bad too.
I was baffled by that decision.
Yeah. All right, topic number four. Who's an underrated hero for this weekend? Looking into all the matchups coming up this weekend, who do you think is going to shine that we're probably not talking about right now?
Well, we did talk about him a little bit. I'm going to throw him out there. I think Carson Landis has a chance to have a humongous impact. There just aren't many kickers like him in high school, and he's a really good punter too. So I think he's got the potential to really swing field position in that Emmaus Freedom game.
I'm going to stay with the same school. If Emmaus is going to beat Freedom, and there's a lot of doubt about that, I think Blake Reed's going to have to step up and make some throws. Mm-hmm. I think that Freedom will find a way to neutralize that Emmaus ground game. And the young man Reed, who is going to be the quarterback next year, he's going to have to come up and maybe find Artis a few times. And I think they're going to have to get something out of the passing game to beat Freedom.
I agree.
Yep. All right, topic number five. How many wins for the Joel Embiid-driven 76ers? We were all excited about him a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked a little 76ers talk, and you thought they were going to make the playoffs at one point?
Before the season started. Yeah. But then I thought that Simmons would be back sooner than he is, too.
In January at the best. So how many wins now do you think they can get?
20.
20?
Wow. 22.
Oh, that's more optimistic than I was. I was thinking they might not get out of the teens at this rate because they're in games, but then they seem to blow them.
They nearly
at the
beat
end.
Cleveland the other night. Yeah. So, I mean, and that was.
And again, they got off the bus.
As the expectations rise, I mean, Brown, nobody cares. Always a nice caretaker, he's a good coach for a young team. But now Brown is.
He's starting to feel the heat.
His decisions are being magnified, and some of them are not very good.
Yeah. Do you think. I thought. By now, some of these other players would have stepped up. They would have found some diamond in the rough or some free agent that they could have gotten. Are you disappointed in that the Colangelos and the powers that be there right now haven't done more to try to improve the team now?
I think they're in a tough spot because if you're a veteran player, I mean, most veterans who take low money deals, they want to go play with LeBron or Steph Curry or somewhere where they can have a chance to have an impact and win. So I think it puts them in a tough spot when you're trying to lose games for quite a few years. I don't care what they said. That's what it looked like they were trying to do, is lose games.
All right, and topic six, what's your favorite story from this past high school football season? I think there were some good stories out there, but Steve, we'll start with you.
Oh, that's a tough one. I really think it's the way Emmaus played this year. I did not see it coming. I talked to a few people before the season. When I made my prediction that they would finish eighth, it was mostly because people who had seen them over the summer said, I just don't think they're going to be that good. And then talking to people later in the year, they said, you know what, I think maybe they were working on their system. And Harold's obviously a really good coach, so they were underestimated. So to me, they've been the best story in the season.
Well, it's interesting you say favorite story of the regular season, because if you add it last week, it wouldn't be quite the same story. But I thought Central Catholic, look, this is a proud program that had all those successful years and District 11 championships and a state title in 2010. And then they hit the skids. And I know that they went to the North. That wasn't their idea.
No.
They didn't complain. They didn't gripe about it. They played the schedule before them. They had an opening night loss to Freedom. They bounced back with 9 straight wins. They have, as you know, you've covered them many, many times in many, many years, Steve. They have class kids down there to do things the right way. They have a young man named Horwath who's on the team. His father is battling cancer. Yeah. They raise money. They do things the right way there. I know that they're not the most popular school in the area because they've had a lot of success. But I thought Central Catholic, regular season story, going 9-1, bringing that program back to respectability, I think that was a pretty darn good story.
Yeah. All right, final moment of the program, time for Stone Cold Lock. This is where our panelists and Keith will guarantee something comes true in the world of sports, can be local, regional, or national. Steve, your Stone Cold Lock for the week.
Well, it's funny that you're bringing up Doug Peterson, because my Stone Cold Lock is that he will do something that will have people scratching their heads again this weekend after the Eagles play the Falcons.
And there'll be conversation on the radio for the next 3 days.
Absolutely.
Keith, your Stone Cold Lock prediction.
You stole mine, by the way, because the Eagle people are nuts. I mean, you know that. I mean, I love – my favorite thing is when they lose is to go to the Eagles post-game live to hear Michael Barkan crying.
Me too.
I mean, I just love that. But look, it's going to go back to the high school scene. Whoever wins and loses this week, you know, people are going to be crying about lack of respect. I hope it's going to be a well-attended weekend. I hope we get the folks out there. Some great matchups, and I hope – that we get some great, great crowds and the weather cooperates, but I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of empty seats in the stands.
All right, check out the games this week on RCN, and we'll be back next Thursday for another edition of Sports Talk. Good night, everyone.